Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust.
We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hey, this is Chuck.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the ultimate podcast to listen to when you're stranded on a desert island. Yes, we are playing that classic game, Desert Island, but we're going to put our own little twist on it, and we'll get to that very shortly. But before we get to that, how's the week been going for you guys?
This week was pretty exciting. Greg and I got to go to a little Comic-Con,
woo-hoo!
Right?
It actually nice, was nice. Kind of dumpy.
Kind of like the smallest one ever.
Yes.
The Scranton Comic Convention, which is more just like a bunch of comic book fans in a room together.
Very smelly.
Oh, yeah. If I had some foul odors near me, that was not fun. But I don't know. I think we both found some cool stuff. I found some comics on my list that I got to cross off, and I ended up finding this Marvel Select figure. It was the classic version of Thor, but the Select figure, so they're like a little bit more detailed. They kind of look like a statue a little bit, but they're still sort of mildly poseable. And I got a really good price on it, and I was like, all right, so I'll take that. And I got home, and see, I was so obsessed with like how it looked, and you know, there was no paint rub on it. The joints were good and everything. Everything looked great. Nothing was bent or damaged. But I got home, and for some reason, like, I caught a whiff of the thing. And apparently the people that owned it were, like, heavy smokers or something. Because the thing, like, reeked really bad of cigarette smoke.
Don't forget to smell your action figures before you buy them, kid.
Yes, that's my advice now. You got to do the sniff test if you're buying used merchandise, because a lot of people aren't upfront about, you know, whether it was kept in a smoke-free environment or a smoking environment, and always give stuff the sniff test, because I've gotten other things too like that, and it's not fun. It really sucks, and it's really hard to get out too. Like, the best way of dealing with it that I've come up with is you know, the Dawn dish liquid that you do your dishes with.
They also wash oil-soaked ducks, I believe, with Dawn.
Yes, yes. So it's very, you know, friendly and skin-friendly and everything. So I take that and I do like a, you know, like I have a spare toothbrush laying around or something. And I just like scrub
spare
the crap
your sister's
out of the thing.
Or whatever. Whatever's for.
Right. Why does a toothbrush taste like smoke? But
it's okay. I washed
it.
Yeah,
I just scrub. I scrubbed it with Dawn dish liquid. So yeah, I scrubbed the crap out of it, and it helped a lot, but it still sucked. But now it's good and it looks good on the shelf and everything. But yeah, lesson learned: always do the sniff test when you're buying stuff at a convention or any kind of flea market or anything like that.
Always smell your figure. That's the key to today's podcast.
Right.
Always smell your figure.
If you don't recognize the smell, just put it down and walk away.
That's not human. I am walking away. Yeah.
Right.
Greg, how are things going with you?
Pretty good. I only bought one thing from the Scranton Comic Con. I was mostly trying to sell comics, and I sold a pretty big stack of them. First, I went up to this one guy, and I gave him a pile of the more expensive ones because I went through the whole stack and figured out the prices for everything. And I handed it to this one guy, and he looked through it and found six or seven that he liked. And he asked for, like, $25 for them. And I was like, okay.
and I went with that. And it was a good thing I just dealt with this guy the whole time, because I went around to other ones after him, and nobody wanted to buy, because they were fairly on the newer side, like early 80s maybe through 90s. I don't think there were any currents in there, really. Even into the 2000s, I don't think there was. So he was the only one really buying. And then I brought in this giant box of cheapo stuff, and he bought that for $35. So I made a nice $60 out of the deal, made a little bit more room in my collection. And then the one thing I did buy, I went to the guy that we usually go to his store all the time at Comics on the Green, Dave. And I got Afterlife with Archie, because Dan has kind of gotten me into Archie a little bit. I got, for Free Comic Book Day, I got the issue number one of Archie that they had for Free Comic Book Day. I read that, and that was actually halfway decent. I really enjoyed it.
The Mark Waid, Fiona Staples. Apple. Yeah, Fiona Staples.
Staples, yes. And another arbitrary object, yes. That one, it was really good, but I especially appreciated the Afterlife with Archie, because it had a little bit more of a horror zombie twist to it with these characters, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I come from a world where I haven't really experienced Archie at all, so I went in with wide eyes, because I had really no idea what it was, what I was dealing with. I thought it was going to be kind of like easy jokes kind of situation, where it's like a softball joke thrown in there, and I'm like, very cute, that's very punny. But it was actually pretty decent, and pretty interesting goings on there. It's kind of like a soap opera, and then the Afterlife with Archie is like a soap opera with zombies, which I thought was really cool, especially reading the issue number one, where it was normal to go to this horror realm that I'm more interested in, I think's a little bit cooler.
Nice. I've not read that. Yeah, I actually have a few issues behind with Archie. I also heard Archie versus Punisher, not Punisher, but Archie versus the Predator from last year was a pretty good series as well. So, but yeah, I've heard really good things about Afterlife, but I've not read.
Yeah, I kind of like the direction that Archie goes in, because it kind of goes in unexpected directions, like Archie and the Predator, Archie and the Punisher. Like, it's interesting the directions they're willing to go with the characters to keep it interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think they try to keep the character relevant, even though it's been around for a while. And I think they do a pretty good job of it. So, like, I only started reading it with Archie, the new series by Mark Waid. So, but
yeah, and I had my mom used to read Archie, and I handed the Free Comic Book to her, and she goes, "Yeah, I still like my older ones better. It was all right, but I still like the older ones better that she grew up with." So,
you'll have that. My week is going pretty uneventful for the most part. Trying to think of anything really going on all that much. Not
it's better than getting all your car incidents in.
Yeah, that's too good. I knock on wood that I have no car incidents. It's been pretty straightforward for that end. So yeah, not much going on. I'm trying to think if I had something in it, slipped my mind.
So intrigued by our Archie conversation.
Yeah, but no, it's been, I've actually been like, I get in different moods in the sense of like, I'll be really into comics for a month or two, and then I'll get really into like reading books. And I'm actually in a movie mood right now, and I'll talk about a documentary coming up. And I've been trying to catch up with some 2016 stuff I missed, and for 2015 stuff I haven't checked out yet. So hopefully I'll get into that. But I know, Greg, you've been reading a bunch. You talked about something already, but you also read a book that you wanted to talk about, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I watched a TV show. And
no, you watched a TV show.
And watched a movie.
Yeah, so what do you talk about the TV show that you watched?
Okay, the TV show that I watched, I've been trying to watch and fit into my life for the past few years, and it's kind of like been start and stop. So I guess that kind of tells you how I feel about it. It wasn't the greatest thing ever, but I'm still intrigued to keep going back to it. And that TV show was on a while ago on Fox, and it's ended a while ago, too. But it's all on Netflix on the Instant Watch. And the show that I watched is called Fringe. If you haven't heard of Fringe, it deals with the FBI and they're trying to deal with all these fringe events going on, and they bring in this scientist who has was really respected back in the day, really intelligent, had a lot of stuff going on. They bring him in, but he's gone crazy and everything, and so they kind of have to bring in his son to kind of control him to figure out these mysteries, and it deals with all these like fringe science stuff, like wormholes and what else do we got? Spontaneous combustion, that kind of stuff. Very fringe science stuff going on. So I really liked that concept going in, and I really liked the Walter character and kind of how their his relationship with the son developed. And then I also like how the son and the son's name is Peter, the scientist's name is Walter, and then Olivia Dunham is the FBI agent who's kind of running the whole thing. She's the top, but then she's also got her manager on top of her. That sounded bad, I know, I'm sorry. But
no wonder you like the show.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting to see Walter and Peter's relationship go on. I really like the Walter character because he's kind of a little out there because he's been in an insane asylum for a while. And then I also like the relationship between Olivia and Peter as well, as they're kind of romance buds and everything. But the characters are definitely my favorite part of the whole show. There's great characters going on, and I liked the subject of the stories. But the only thing that really kills it for me is the fact that in later seasons, it gets really strange. Like, they're dealing with these different dimensions going back and forth. So it's like the set of characters in our world, and then the same set of characters in a different kind of world perspective. And it kind of muddies things a little bit, if you ask me. And then when it finally ends, I felt like it kind of went with a plain expected ending. It wasn't anything really spectacular to end out with. But otherwise, it's a very good show. I think it's like 6 seasons long. It's about 100 episodes, and they're about 44 minutes long for each episode. So it takes a while to go through. So I'm not sure. I think you have to kind of at least experience the first season to see if you want to watch this or not, because I think I'm kind of in the middle of the road if I would really recommend it to people. I'd say watch the first season, see if you like the characters, because if you like the characters, I think you could follow through the entire run of the show. If you don't like the characters, I think you're going to struggle with it. Because otherwise, the show and the details going on with the general show are okay, but they kind of get worse as the seasons progress, as the show progresses. It goes from really awesome concepts to getting muddied and just going into – it goes too far, I think, with it. So, yeah, check out the first season if you like that.
I've actually watched some Fringe. Actually, I watched the first 2 seasons pretty steadily, and then I kind of got off it. But my wife watched it, and so I've seen it like in proxy. It's one of those shows where I've caught episodes here and there. So I don't have the motivation to go back and finish it because I've kind of seen it all at certain points. And I know what you're saying, where it gets into like other dimensions. I actually enjoyed that. I thought it got better when it got into other dimensions a little bit more. But I remember the final season being really odd, like it flashes forward in the future or something like that.
Yeah, it flashes really far forward into the future. It really gets muddied down. Yeah, the last season is very like, what the hell happened here? And there's like an episode in the season before that kind of sets it up, but it's very unexpected and weirdly placed where it is, because then they go back to the regular goings on of that season, so it's like this weird thing in the middle of it. It's just bizarre how it got handled towards the end there, in seasons, the end of season 5 into season 6. Season 6 was like very confusing. I felt like they were kind of stretching like what could have been 2 or 3 episodes into, I think, 8 episodes the final season was.
Something like it was shortened, but I remember, like, it was one of those shows every year. It's like, was it going to continue? Because it never had great ratings. It was, like, always on the fringe, you get it, of getting canceled. So I apologize for that, Jen. But before you get to the movie that you watched, I also watched a movie. I mentioned I was catching up with stuff in 2015. And a lot of, like, new documentaries I've been throwing on Netflix recently from last year. Or at least they just showed up in my recommended list. Sometimes that happens. And I've been watching some 30 for 30 docs. There's a really good one called That Magic Moment, or This Magic Moment, about the Magic Team in the 90s with Anthony Hardaway and Shaquille O'Neal, which really threw me back because I remember, like, as a kid loving that team and having posters.
I watched that.
You did?
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was good.
It was enjoyable. It was pretty good. It was just nostalgia. Like, I really wanted to play, like, NBA Jam right after that because that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
But the other documentary I watched was called Finders Keepers. I don't know if you watched that as well, Chuck.
No, I wasn't stalking you.
Okay.
I was.
So, Finders Keepers, it's a 2015 documentary, and it's about the situation where a man, you know, similar to what is that reality show where they bid on storage lockers that have basically...
I know this one. My mom watches it.
Storage Wars?
It wasn't a Storage Wars guy, but he... bids on this, you know, locker, and he wins it, and he was getting the contents, and one of the contents was a grill, and inside that grill was a human foot, a real life human foot.
What?
Yeah, it seems like odd, like why this would happen. So, like, he calls police, it gets kind of reported, they figure it out, but basically it was this guy who, he lost his foot and he wanted to mummify it and keep it for some odd reason, which he gets into. But it becomes this huge custody battle between this foot because the guy who bought the storage, you know, all sales are final. So he felt that he had custody of this foot now because he bought the grill and inside the grill was this foot. And the other guy who basically just wants his foot back. So it's just, and these guys are North Carolina to a T. Like, I had a sister who lived there. And for lack of a better word, they are rednecks and kind of proud of it. The guy who finds the foot is like, wants to use it to get famous, basically. He wants to set up a tourist attraction, and he makes t-shirts with like a barbecue on it and the foot there. He calls himself the Foot Man. Like, he's like dying to make this his big ticket to become famous and rich. And the other guy is trying to get his foot. But what's interesting about it is that, like, kind of goes into why these people are in the situations they are in, like why this guy so desperately wants to become famous and why this guy got to a place in his life where he would want to mummify his foot or keep his lost leg. You know, there's some like shake your head comedy and, you know, some like it's strange and odd, but it actually gets rather depressing, but heartfelt at the same time. And it was actually quite good. I would highly recommend it if you enjoy like just oddball stories. And I don't think it completely nails the ending, but it does go in some strange and odd directions, and I think it tries to tie it all up at the end. I don't know how successful it is, but overall, it was really solid. One of the better documentaries from 2015 for me, and like I mentioned, it's currently streaming on Netflix right now. So I would say the less you know about it, the better. I guess this was all over the news, but I missed it completely because I don't, I guess, watch news about lost legs. So.
Rex Ryan does.
Oddly enough, it might have been Rex Ryan. I don't know. He kind of looked like him. He looked like he could have been in the Ryan family for sure. So, but yeah, so it's Finders Keepers currently streaming on Netflix. But Greg, I knew you watched a movie, and I'm really curious to hear about it. It sounds intriguing.
Yes, it's called Hellraiser, Hellworlds. And the most interesting thing about this movie, because I'll tell you right now, the movie is awful. If you're going to watch Hellraiser, watch one of the first two. After that, it gets crappy. And this one, I think, was done in like 2005, something like that. But the most interesting thing about this movie was two of the actors in it, because it was essentially Justice League before the Justice League, because it had Henry Cavill, who plays Superman in it, and his acting was atrocious. And it has the voice actor who voices Cyborg on a whole bunch of different stuff, like Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go on the Cartoon Network.
That's not the guy that's on Criminal Minds, right? That's a different guy.
I don't know who you're talking about on Criminal Minds. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up on my phone.
I don't know.
But his action, his acting was actually a little bit better than Henry Cavill's, I thought.
You're not talking about Shamar Moore, are you?
Yeah, that's who.
The bald guy that looks like Jason Taylor?
Yeah, yeah.
You mean Jason Taylor from the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I don't think he looks like Jason Taylor from the Dolphins.
The guy from Criminal Minds?
Oh, I'm not talking about the guy from Criminal Minds. I'm talking about...
Come on,
the
Greg.
Guy... I don't watch Criminal Minds! I don't!
I was trying to bail Dan out of there.
Oh, his name is Cary Payton.
Okay, so that's not the guy I was thinking of. Cause,
no.
Yeah, Shamar Moore, he does the voice of Cyborg, I think, for the DC, like, a lot of the DC animated movies now. So.
Now, this guy does, like, the Teen Titans stuff, like Teen Titans, Teen Titan Go. He's on a lot of different stuff with Cyborg, too. He's, booyah, that kind of stuff going on. But anyway, yeah, his act.
He was a voice in the NBA Jam?
No. But anyway, yeah, his acting was a lot better than Henry Cavill's, actually. And I was surprised to see a guy that's playing Superman who's such a clean-cut individual, except maybe for in this movie, because he kind of gets in a tub with Amy Adams, who's naked. Sorry, I visualized that. And I got lost. But he also had a little bit of a scene in there where he's grabbing on some boobs in this movie, which was interesting. And he didn't have the lead part, which I thought was also interesting. He was like second or third tier character in this, and he played a douche, which he fit into really well, but still couldn't make it through his acting. The plot was boring. The only interesting thing was kind of the ending. So it was kind of like a backwards Bendis going on situation.
Backwards Bendis. That sounds like a swimming maneuver. He's now performing the backwards Bendis. So.
I thought it was a skating.
Sounds painful.
It does. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't recommend anybody watch it. It's a horror movie that's not scary at all. Kind of predictable up until the end, but you're kind of guessing at it. And if you're going in for Pinhead, the villain that you usually think of when it comes to Hellraiser, he's not even really a villain in this for the most part. It's just like he kind of shows up every once in a while, kind of scary, but not at all. And it wasn't even like one of those bad horror movies where it's so bad it's good. It was boring. I was doing other stuff during it. I believe that was the night I was also putting together. My brother got me it was like this Lego Dimensions little box, which I don't have it's the dimension stuff is supposed to hook up to a gaming system. I forget whether it's PlayStation or Xbox, and you're supposed to make the little characters and put them on this little platform, and that character comes into the game or whatever. I don't have the video game, so I just wanted to put together because I like the characters. It's Doctor Who, the current version, the TARDIS, and K-9. And I put together Doctor Who because it was easy, because he's just a little mini figure dude, and it's not hard to figure out. But the TARDIS and K-9, I needed a little instructions on how to put them together. And the instruction booklet did not have the instructions on that. They just had the instructions on how to put the doctor together. The rest, you had to go in-game to put them together. Thank God there's an internet, because that's the only way I was able to put it together.
Interesting. So does the Doctor Who figure like regenerate every so often, or does it just stay the same?
I hope it would degenerate back into the David Tennant Doctor.
Oh, really? Which one is it?
It's the current version. I forget his name. It's
Peter Capelli.
What's that?
Is it Peter Capelli?
Yeah, Peter Capelli. Yeah, it's Peter Capelli.
Yeah. I get his name right. I don't even watch Doctor Who, but can't get the other guy's name. Man, just striking out all over the place today. But all right, anything else before we take a quick break? All right. Well, when we come back, we're playing that all-time classic game, Desert Island. But we're gonna put our own little twist on it, so it should be fun. We'll see you in a bit.
I'm Colin Baker.
My name's Fraser Hines.
Hi, I'm Daphne Ashbrook.
This is Andrew Cartmell.
Hi, this is Colin Spall.
Hello, I'm Simon Bishop Becker.
This is Ian McNeice.
Hi, this is Travis Ritchie.
You listen to this, Mark.
Listen to Mark Who 42's Universe.
If you're into Doctor Who, listen to Mark Who 42's Universe. We always have the latest Doctor Who news, reviews, and interviews. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Geekcast Radio Network, and our home base, Marku42.net.
Marku42, the meaning of life.
All right, and welcome back. And yes, today we are playing that classic desert island game. What if you were stuck on a desert island? Like, we're going to be changing it a bit in the sense of we're going to have separate categories. We're going to have what TV show would we pick? What movie would we pick? What food would we pick? What miscellaneous item would we pick? And then also, what person would we, famous person or what have you, would we pick to bring onto this desert island, this magical desert island that allows you to watch movies and TV shows. So, you know, you got to use your imagination, of course. So it's got, I guess, a solar power DVD player, maybe. I don't know. Those exist, right?
Yes, they do.
All right. MacGyver made them, I'm sure. We're just MacGyver. They're making a MacGyver reboot, so this could be it, right? You know?
Yes.
That makes me sad. But anyways. So, yeah, starting off, I guess, you know, the first thing, if you're going to be living on a desert island, you're going to need to feed yourself in some way. And this idea is that we have this magical ability to choose what food we'd be able to eat every day. So something to consider. You're going to be eating it almost, you know, pretty much every day. So it's got to be something not only that you like, but is something that is repeatable in eating, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. But I guess, Chuck, starting with you, you're stranded on the desert island. What food are you picking and why?
Well, I think since we're having sort of a magical ability and it's not necessarily based on nutrition.
Well, you're on a deserted island. You're going to be working on stuff. You're in the sun, so you'll be working it off anyway, Chuck.
True. That's very true. I think something that I could eat every day is pizza.
Nice, yeah.
And I would say maybe specifically sausage pizza. Because you got your bread, you got your dairy, and you got your meat, all in one food. So I'll be decently nourished, if not getting extremely fat, but I'll be satisfied.
Nice. Yeah, pizza's a good go-to, because I guess if this was a magical pizza, maybe you could change it every day too. So it's like, you know, pizza basically becomes a substitute for every other food. You can just throw whatever you want on there. So
right, and if you happen to find pineapple on your island, you could throw some pineapple on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Wild, or whatever. A wild boar, cut that up, and you got a pineapple ham situation with your pizza.
Right. Or maybe, you know, some anchovies if you create some kind of little net thing and you scoop them out of the water.
There you go. So this is actually, you don't even need to be magical. This is going to be legit. You could really do this.
This is legit. You just need some sort of brick oven to cook it in every time.
Yeah, flame boiled pizza, you know, it'll be a trend. I'm sure some hipsters are doing it right now while drinking their craft beer. So
there you go.
So Greg, what about you? What food would you bring if you were traveling desert island?
I don't think I'm going to be fitting into the food pyramid at all, really. I think I'm just going to take one brick out of it, which would probably be bad for my health, but it's a magical island so far. So I'm going to go with something that you can get kind of a little bit of varied taste, sort of. But it's one of my favorite food items ever, and I love making this type of food, and that would be barbecue. I really love barbecue, and especially barbecue done well.
Yeah, that's a good pull. Yes, do you have a specific kind of barbecue you would go with? Like, you thinking, I recently just had some linen broil this weekend. That was a good time. You thinking
London broil's not really a barbecue.
Whatever, it's meat, you know. Whatever,
it's not barbecue. But I've been really hankering lately for some beef brisket, and I've been really wanting to smoke some beef brisket. But the freaking weather around here has been terrible on the weekends, and especially sucks since the weathermen keep saying, "Oh, the weekend's gonna be great!" Like on Monday, as soon as the weekend has passed already. On Monday, they're like, next weekend's going to be great, guys. And then Thursday, Friday here, now it's like all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we're getting rain now. It's like, oh, you freaking cock tease. that went into a tangent. Sorry, but yeah, beef brisket.
That's what I always call my weatherman. Seems to respond well to it.
Yeah. Well, we've got that one cute girl on WNEP that does the weather.
Oh, right? Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You'll bring her on the Desert Island. There you go.
Yeah. Now people are going to be looking up WNEP Weather Girl.
Well, it could be like the Weather Girl that was forced to put on a sweater or whatever. I don't know if you saw that, where I guess. Yeah, there was a weather lady. I guess she was wearing like a cocktail dress, and there were complaints. So they made her put on a sweater in the middle of air. And
who complains about that?
People who watch the weather on a Saturday morning. That's who.
Exactly.
If Joe Snedeker can do the frickin' weather and some of the ridiculous stuff that he comes up with, this woman could wear a cocktail dress. I swear to God.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So what food would I bring to a desert island? No, I was going to be honest. I was thinking pizza, but I think one step above pizza, maybe. I don't know. It's basically pizza in bread form, but that's Stromboli.
It's a pizza pocket-esque thing.
Basically, yeah. It's like a giant.
That's way too much bread, Dan. That's way too many carbs. How are you gonna wear that off?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna wear that off. That's a good question. It's
I'm just kidding. That's no worse than my pizza.
I mean, you have different Stromboli. I mean, I love myself some Reuben Stromboli. When you get that's great. Cheesesteak Stromboli, classic Stromboli, buffalo chicken Stromboli. Again, it's just this. It's this, you know, pocket of food goodness that I could change every day. So I think that's a good way of getting it with kind of cheat because you get a variety, but it's still good. You know, it's still important. But
Hot Pockets.
I have no variety in my diet.
Yeah. Well,
I almost went with wings because I honestly think I could eat wings every day, but I figured the meat diet might be a little
Yeah, not
as nutritious as getting some different things in there.
Yeah, my digestive system is going to be annihilated.
Yeah, hey man, it's what are you going to do? You got a lot of time to kill. We just got, whatever.
Right.
So speaking of time to kill, that's a perfect opportunity to possibly watch a television show. And, you know, this is tough because you can pick your favorite TV show, but, like, for example, one of my favorite TV shows is The Wire. Not a show I probably would want to watch on a desert island. Not the most uplifting show. It's a show I love, but I probably can only watch maybe once a year or once every few years. So, again, rewatchability is a key factor. So, Chuck, you're stuck on a desert island. You get to watch a TV show. You bring that with you. What are you bringing?
I am bringing something that's going to make me laugh. And it's definitely one of my favorite shows of all time, and it's something that's going to also make me happy because it reminds me of my childhood, and that is Home Improvement.
Nice.
I figured. I had a good chance. I was like, one thing I'll get right is that Chuck will choose Home Improvement. So,
I absolutely love that show, and there's 8 seasons of it, so I think it would last me quite a while, and then I could start over again at the beginning. But I think that would be a nice uplifting show to keep me happy and my spirits up.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Greg, what about you? What TV show would you bring on this trip to this magical desert island?
I'm not getting a good consistency in my diet, but I think I'm going to be getting a good consistency with my TV show here, because I'm picking MASH, and they run the gamut of comedy to drama kind of situation in there, especially when they went into later, it went more from at the beginning of the show, it was very comedy based, and then it went drama. And that also reminds me of my childhood a lot. And I've, even at home here, I've been able to, like, we'll go a couple years without MASH, and then all of a sudden one TV show will have it on at a certain time that we consistently watch TV. So we'd go back to watching it. So, like, I've watched it a lot already, and I could still go back and rewatch it again. The funny moments are still always funny to me. I just liked MASH, and it's a long-running TV show, so I think that would definitely fill up a lot of my time on the island.
Are you worried about that taking away your sense of escape at all, since the situation they're in is so much similar to the situation you're in?
Yeah, I think so. And then plus we've got the movie section coming up if I wanted a little bit more escapism, I think.
Okay. You're looking for them on the more the intellectual challenge, and you know you like those characters, so maybe something to relate to. Like, oh, yeah, you're stuck in location just like I am.
Yeah, and especially at the beginning, they're definitely having fun and making do with what they can and making the situation as pleasant as they can with all the jokes going around and stuff. And I think Hawkeye's humor will kind of help me out.
Yeah, can't go wrong with Alan Alda. So
yeah.
So I've gone back for a few things. So, and like I said, The Wire is my favorite, one of my favorite TV shows. Wouldn't bring that, even though I love it. Similar to what Chuck said, not really something that's going to give you that form of escape. I thought about The West Wing, a show I love too. That does have comedy, has drama, though. I do think like it has a really strong like four seasons until Aaron Sorkin leaves, and then fifth season's not that great, but it gets better. But I think ultimately the show I settled with, it's, again, probably in my top three of favorite shows of all time still. And show we talk about, I think we actually even brought it up today already, and it's The Office. I love The Office. I find it hilarious. I've watched it multiple times. I rewatch it all the time now, and it's on Netflix sometimes. If I just, like, need something in the background, I'll throw The Office on. It's also going to give me that little bit of the homesickness or nostalgia or what have you, because, you know, it is located in Scranton, which is an area that we all, well, Chuck and Greg currently live, and I grew up in, so you do have that like connection too. And there's some bad seasons, you know, the last season's not that fantastic, but there's a lot of goodness in there too, and maybe I'll come to love it if I have to watch it over and over again. And I've not actually only watched the last season once, and I never wanted to go back and watch it again, but the last episode is pretty solid though. So I don't know, so I'm gonna go with The Office. It's like I said, it's funny, it's heartfelt at times, has good drama when necessary, it's got it all. So I thought about going to Parks and Rec too. I've gone back and forth, and I don't know. I just, the home connection took me to The Office, but like Parks and Rec is right up there with it too. I think it actually might be a better show consistently, because I don't think there's a bad season in Parks and Rec. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All right. So we have TV show, and as Greg mentioned, the next thing connected to that is movies. What movie would we see? That's, I think, even harder for me to choose. So, Chuck, you have Home Improvement. So, you don't, when you're taking a break from Home Improvement, what movie are you going to watch?
Well, since I already have my comedy, I figure I have something that's a little more dramatized, maybe a little bit of action there. And there's so many movies to choose from. I have so many favorites. I think, in particular, the reason I'm picking this movie is it's a little bit relatable to you know, my situation, and also it's just kind of a different genre, so different from my show, different from the next couple of things I'm going to be picking. So my movie I think that I would choose is actually Tombstone. I think it would be cool to have a western that I could watch, and it sort of would remind me of that lawlessness. Maybe I would kind of rule the island. There would be kind of no rules, and anybody would come along, they kind of have to play by my rules and stuff like that. But I think I could relate in that situation to that movie, and just sort of enjoy the action of it and how it differs from it's like a change of pace, you know, from the other stuff that I'm gonna be bringing with me. So
that's surprising. I did not think Western, or I did not think Tombstone. I know you love that movie, but it didn't even... I had a few guesses. I'm like, okay, but going with Tombstone, I mean...
I didn't want to do a comic book movie, because we're already being able to bring a book, like a comic book, so...
Yeah. Hey, man, I'll be your Huckleberry, so there you go.
That's right. You're Daisy, yeah, if you do.
Can't go wrong with Tombstone, so, you know. No Wyatt Earp. Oh, no, sorry. I apologize. But all right, Tombstone, good choice, good choice. Greg, what about you? What movie are you bringing?
Movie, I think you could kind of guess what movie I'm going to bring. I've already watched it a gazillion times already. And this one, like I said, is a lot more of an escapism movie. I'm going with one of my favorites, with The Fifth Element. Bruce Willis kicking ass, wry sense of humor, these weird sets. Ruby Rod is in it.
I couldn't imagine being stuck in a desert island with Chris Tucker. That's like, that would be hell.
I really like that movie, though. I don't know why. I could watch it as many times as I can. I see it on TV, and I'll stop and watch it. I subjugated my parents to it the one night we were sitting down to have a meal,
and we watch TV when we're having dinner, which is probably a bad idea, but whatever. And we were trying to find something on, and I found Fifth Element and immediately stopped, and they were like, what the hell is this?
But I could see that. I could see that happening.
It's one of those movies that for some reason I could keep rewatching for some reason. I don't understand why, because it's not really considered to be a really good movie.
So you'd go that over something like Star Wars?
Yes.
Interesting.
And plus I get to see Mila Jovovich, so that's always fun.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there you go. You'd also get the Resident Evil movies if you wanted to, I guess, torture yourself. Or
Fifth Element's better.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah, Fifth Element's a fun film, for sure. Yeah. Bruce Willis, it's a crazy movie, but it's unforgettable for sure. And I went along the same line, so I'm looking for a movie that I can rewatch multiple times. And this isn't necessarily a form of escape. I was thinking, I wanted a comedy. I guess both of my TV show movies are both comedic, but I feel like I want a comedy with substance, and I felt like this movie is a movie that almost it will allow me to come to peace with the situation you're in, because that's what that movie is about, and it's one of my all-time favorite comedies as well. But
Castaway.
Castaway, that is a hoot, huge hilarious movie. But I'm gonna go with Groundhog Day.
Nice. I love Groundhog Day.
Bill
Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray's great. I told my wife that. She's like, wouldn't that get ridiculous if you're watching a movie every day that's about reliving the same day every day? I'm like, kind of, but I feel like that's kind of the point where it, you know, it's about him, you know, not to spoil Groundhog Day, but as you see it progress and see him progress and what that story represents, I feel like it'll be a very similar situation. So it's the ultimate thing to relate to. Plus, it's hilarious. It's all-time classic, and it's Bill Murray, so...
Either that, or you'll try to kill yourself with your Stromboli.
That's true. Eventually. I'll go into the ocean and bring in like a toaster and try to electrocute myself like he does. So, but yeah, Groundhog Day, one of my all time favorites. So there you go. Hey, and I just realized this now. Both of mine have Pennsylvania connections. I don't know what that tells. What that says. So.
Wow, Dan's feeling a little homesick.
I guess, yeah. I could have gone with The Wire and Hairspray, but, you know, for Baltimore, but I did not.
Subconscious is very powerful, Dan.
It is. For my miscellaneous item, I'm going to bring a pothole. So. Right. Nice. Very nice. All right, so speaking of our miscellaneous item, maybe that's where we'll go next. So this is basically anything. It'd be whatever you want it to be. Just, you know, your little, I guess in Survivor, they had that one thing you're allowed to bring, if I remember correctly, for the 10 years ago when I watched an episode of Survivor. So Chuck, for your miscellaneous item, what would it be and why?
I think my miscellaneous item is, I think it's going to be a survival knife.
You're thinking that's all that Man versus Wild will come back to. Benefit
it, yeah, I, you know, it is, but it's also it kind of has many functions, but I think you know, any survivor worth his salt is got to have a good knife. That's like your most important thing, you know. Not only can you build things with it, you know, help to start your fire, you can hunt with it, you defend yourself with it, you can pry things and break things and smash things and everything. So many uses. But also I think if you want to be intimidating to any of the creatures on the island or be able to defend yourself, you need to have a weapon. And I think I could also use it to, you know, even as a hobby, you could start carving things. You could start making things and, you know, building buildings and maybe even wooden sculptures and random things. So I think it would be pretty cool to have with all the uses. How can you go wrong? I just like having a good knife, a real good knife, playing around all those days when we were camping and stuff. I always had to have a good knife with me. It's just kind of a, I don't know if you want to say like a crutch, but it's something that you kind of feel naked without. You want to have your knife with you when you're in that type of situation.
How many times do you think you'll do that? That's not a knife gag over you just over and over again. That...
Probably every morning when I wake up. I am that repetitive. I'll wake up and see it, and I'll be like, this is a knife. Yeah.
Very nice. That's, see, you're thinking survival. I did not go that route at all. I went more of a... We'll just say, I guess it says a lot about me with the route I went. But Greg, what about you? Chuck's bringing a knife. Are you bringing an even bigger knife?
You could say that. You'll find out why in a couple categories here. But I am bringing a condom. Well, multiple condoms, a pack of condoms.
That's how you broke up, Greg.
I'm bringing condoms.
I can only to make balloon animals.
Okay, multiple uses. You can fill them up with water.
Yeah. flotation devices.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tie them together. Make a raft.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You could chew on them. No.
Could use blow them up. Use them as a pillow. So multiple uses. And please keep in the part where you go, "Sorry, Greg, you're breaking up," so I could repeat condom again, because I thought that was kind of funny.
I shall do that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
So okay.
I can only wait until we get to the person that we're doing.
Chuck's a very smart man.
I hope it's not the book, you know.
I hope it's not for the book of comics.
Yes, I'm using it as a bookmark as well.
See, it's multifunctional. There you go. So I think the miscellaneous item, I guess, I know this used to be an old psychology trick. I think that's saying a lot. Chuck's going, you know, making sure he's a survival tool. Greg's going, of course, where he's going. I felt really petty about this, but I was thinking I would bring my phone. Because for a few reasons. I thought about photos, and well, that my photo, there's photos on that. You'd be able to, you know, see photos of family and whatnot. You'd be able to play games occasionally. You know, if you get bored, you have the opportunity to play games, surf the internet if necessary. Also take photos. I think you're on an island, you know, you want to take photos and get share them. And I guess though that would tell the world that you're on a desert island, so that might end this altogether. But still, I just feel like there's a lot of functions you can do with a phone. I don't want to be one of those people who can't live out their phone, but I figured it's just a tool I could use that does a lot of other things. I thought about bringing photos. I thought about bringing a camera. This kind of does all of them, so.
Plus, you could set your alarm clock every morning to like Hawaiian music or something.
There you go. I could also listen to podcasts, like Talking in Circles, which is the ultimate thing to listen to while you're, you know, I could even podcast. I guess I can call it through Skype. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know why we just don't all live in desert islands with our phones. It would basically be the same type of lifestyle. So.
See, that's a good choice. I wasn't sure how we were working it. Like, if you know, once the battery died.
Yeah,
then you're kind of screwed, but
I figured if we have the ability to play DVDs and watch movies, I would somehow have the ability to charge it. So
you would somehow have a renewable energy source right there on the island with you. So
they do actually have chargers that you like, hand chargers for phones, because I know people have gone on the walk the trail. What is it? The Appalachian Trail. There's like a hand crank you can use to keep your battery. I don't know if they work for smartphones, but I think maybe for some certain phones, but.
Maybe you could like rig it up to some sort of bicycle device.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking we'll keep the person we're bringing to the end. But so going next, we talked about this already. Book.
Leaving it to the end, Dan.
Why are we leaving to the end? Because we got to keep that mystery going, you know.
Okay.
You know, let it linger and let people think of who it might be. There's probably a few options, I guess you could think of. I'm more curious who you had to select, because that had to be a hard choice. But, you know, maybe just go with Steak and she can be everybody. But anyways, Chuck, what book would you be bringing to the desert island? Book, comic book, graphic novel, what have you?
Well, if I had to pick a graphic novel, I think I would go with my Infinity Gauntlet omnibus.
Nice.
Not only because it's my favorite story and it would be a lot of reading because it's like 1,300 pages, but also because it weighs about 30 pounds and I could probably beat stuff with it. So. I could use it as a counterweight. I could, you know, hit stuff with it, you know, defend myself. It could be a shield.
I'm sure you can, like, you know, there might be additional extra pages you don't need. Throw the
right.
fire. Yeah. It's like, yeah. If you got an omnibus that had portions of it that were drawn by Rob Liefeld, you'd be like, I can just tear these out and use these for McKinley.
Right. Here's 50 pages. I could just, you know, I need something to wipe the bum with, you know.
There you go. See, no one picked toilet paper. That'd have been a good thing to bring. I mean,
right, exactly.
Yeah,
I've already dealt with leaves. I think I'm good.
Just got to make sure you pick the right ones, because I could go very bad direction.
Very quickly. Juicy.
Oh, God. Oh.
You have to stick like to the
I
water.
Remember that story. Oh,
you have to stick to the water for that stuff, because you do not want sand in certain areas.
Alrighty. So, Greg, what about you? What book, comic book, graphic novel are you bringing?
If I'm going graphic novel, I'm definitely going with the huge collection of the first five graphic novels of the Saga series. They have this big, huge, massive thing of Saga. It's just beautiful. That's very escapism. I think that story's a lot of fun, so I'd go with Saga.
Yeah, Saga's great. I will, one of these days, Chuck, maybe we'll get you to read the first volume and see if you like it at all. I don't know if you would, but it's at least something to at least read to see if you, one of those things that just, like, you know, I don't know. It's like watching Wizard of Oz. You just do it to say you did it, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe one day when I'm on a desert island and I have nothing else to do.
Exactly. One of those days. All right, so you're going with Saga. I guess I'll be the one not going with a comic book or graphic novel. I thought about one, but actually, I'm going to go with probably one of, if I were to count the amount of time I've read this book, or if you want to call it that, since I was a kid till now, it's probably the first book I fell in love with in kindergarten, and I still read it to this day. So I figured I would still be able to enjoy it if I were reading it every day at a desert island. And it's actually Chell Silverstein's A Light in the Attic, or Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Never read that.
Really? You never read those? They're poems. Basically, each page is like a... almost like a Dr. Seuss in a way, in how he would write his stuff. But it's in the sense of it's written for kids, but it's also really smart at the same time. And what I thought about it being a poem is like I could flip to any page at any time. I don't necessarily have to read the story over and over again. It's just like, hey, I just need something. And again, it's more humorous. It's more funny. It's like I said, it's kiddish, but it's kiddish in a good way. And a little bit nostalgia there, and like I mentioned, it's just Chell Silverstein. They're almost like songs. Like a lot of them, I think he even sang. So if you wanted some music, you could sing along too. But I'm surprised. Like I feel like in school, like it was a requirement to read that book at least once.
Went to a different school, Dan. Went to a different school.
Oh man, so you never read any? Have you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Who Chell Silverstein is. I don't think I've read any of his stuff. I think I've read maybe The Giving Tree, and that's about it.
It's along the same lines, but I've always been a big fan of it. I think Light in the Attic's the first one I read growing up, and then I remember being in kindergarten and the teacher reading it, and so it's just one of those things that's always hit me in the right spot. So I thought about going graphic novel, but I don't know. If I'm stuck on a desert island, I think I would like just some simple fun. Just remind me of simpler times when I wasn't trying to survive with polar bears and smoke monsters trying to attack me. Anyways.
Lost reference.
Yes, this is an island brought to you by J.J. Abrams. And I think it makes as much sense as Lost did.
So. The ending of that was terrible.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, so we've come to the final category, and that of person. Chuck, you can bring anyone, any person along this trip. I guess who would you bring to this desert island to enjoy your pizza, to watch your Tombstone and Home Improvement, and read your Infinity Gauntlet? What person are you bringing with you?
Well, there's a ton of people out there that I admire and respect and follow and all that stuff, but if I'm stuck on a desert island, I'm sure as hell not bringing a guy. So that's out the window. I don't know. I guess I would hope that I would be married at the time. I would want my wife, but if I'm not married, it comes down to a couple people. I want someone with a very fun, uplifting personality. Obviously, you don't want somebody that's a downer and it's going to be depressing because you're already in a horrible, depressing situation. So I think I have a couple options. I have, of course, Haley Atwell, who is Agent Carter.
I knew that was going to be one.
She's always a lot of fun. I like her a lot. Great personality and everything. And also, I'm not sure if you guys will know this one, but do you remember that old gaming show, Attack of the Show?
Yes, I love Attack of the Show.
Do you remember Sarah Jean Underwood?
Yes, I check her out frequently on celebs on Reddit.
Yes, I love her. She is so much fun. She's really? Got an awesome sense of humor. She's really? Into gaming. She's into cosplay.
I am surprised that you picked her.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'm saying it's down to these two, but you know, she's a lot of fun. She's into comics. She would have a great time reading comics and everything. But I also feel like Haley Atwell would make me feel a lot more like Captain America.
Yeah, she would. You get that dance. So
I don't know. I think boy, it's close. I think I'd have to go with Sarah Jean. I think she's just a ton of fun. I think it would be not depressing at all there. I'd be having a great time with her.
Well, there you go. Wow. That was surprising. I was not expecting that.
Neither was I, Dan. Neither was I.
I love throwing you guys a curveball sometimes. You think you got me figured out, and then
I never
out of left field.
I never really expected you to ever go after somebody that's been in Playboy. I don't know why, but that was the roadblock in my mind.
I wouldn't normally, but she's like a ton of fun. She's got an awesome personality. She's just into like she's the type of person that would just like hang out on the couch in like sweatpants and just play video games with you or something like. So she's pretty cool.
Yeah, all right, great. She had an adventure on her Snapchat not that long ago where she was out doing a photo shoot out in the woods, and she was like camping during it and everything. So that was pretty cool.
All right, Greg. Well, moving on over to you. So what mother of dragons are you picking to bring on this desert island?
Yeah, my options are Emily Ratajkowski, Amelia Clark, or Emily Bett Rickards. I seriously do not know who to pick. I don't know. I don't think Emily Ratajkowski would be that helpful during the excursion. So it would definitely be between Emily Bett Rickards and Amelia Clark. And I think Emily Bett Rickards is a little bit stronger physically than Amelia Clark, so I'm going to go with Emily Bett Rickards.
Interesting. I still don't know who she is.
Felicity Smoke on Arrow.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Seriously, Tim?
Seriously. I have Not laughing. I'm trying to forget as much of Arrow as possible. That's complete. I don't know. But so I'm kind of in a conundrum when it comes to this a little bit. Yeah, I could pick my wife, but I figured like that. But then I'm like, okay, when my son's going to be stuck without parents, so that would stink. And so I'm gonna cop out and go with a celebrity to make it more, you know, interesting. Considering that, I think being married, picking a woman may be problematic, so I can't go down that route. So I am going to pick a guy. I know a part of me is like, maybe I'll bring Bear Grylls because he can help me get off the island, but
I was expecting that choice from somebody.
Yeah, I thought someone. I thought Chuck might bring up Bear Grylls, but I guess I'll be the person. But I'm not going to go Bear Grylls because, you know, it's not a TV show, so who knows if it'll be as effective. Again, I'm thinking if I'm going to be on this island, I'm going to have tons of fun. What's a guy who can make any situation fun? There's a lot of people out there, but the one that comes to mind, one that we've already brought up already, it would be, of course, Bill Murray. I have Groundhog Day. Having the ability to watch Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, I think, would be fun. But I also just think, like, he's so chaotic in what he does, and, like, he's such a crazy personality. I think he would make that crazy situation a lot of fun. And it'd be a great movie along the way, too. I could film it on my camera and my phone, and we would, you know, become billionaires. So, call me crazy, but I'm going to go with Bill Murray as my person to bring on the island.
I really like that choice, Dan. That's good man choice if you're not going with me.
Good man choice,
He might even find you a baby Ruth floating in the water.
There you go. That's very true. Yeah, and it will taste delicious. Yeah. So. All right. So I guess just want to round out all the things that you'll be bringing to the island, and then we can wrap this sucker up. So, Chuck, What are all the things you'll be bringing to the island?
I will be bringing, for my entertainment, I have the television show Home Improvement. I have the movie Tombstone. I have a graphic novel, or it's an omnibus of the Infinity Gauntlet. I have my item, which is a survival knife. I have my constant food supply of pizza. preferably nice. Various types of pizza. And sharing it all with me will be Sarah Jean Underwood.
There you go. There you go. Greg, what about you?
Yes, I have condoms. I have Saga, the hardcover edition with the first five graphic novels in it. I have the TV show MASH, the classic television show. I have Fifth Element, and then I have Emily Bett Records.
Nice. So for me, for nourishment, I'm eating Stromboli. For entertainment, I will be watching.
Oh, I forgot about barbecue, and I'm eating barbecue.
You'll be eating barbecue, and I'll be watching The Office and Groundhog Day. I will be reading The Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends. Also, having my phone with me is my miscellaneous item. And lastly, I'll be hanging out with Bill Murray while we have tons of fun on a desert island together. Every little boy's dream. So there you go. All right. Well, we'd like to hear what you would bring on a desert island. What do you think of our choices? And you can get in contact with us in a number of different ways. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@live.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Kuroke.
I am at the Create Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this is the Chuck.
This is Bacon Greg, or surprisingly not Bear Grylls.
This has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
Greg, I was thinking you could take, you know, your leftover barbecue so it doesn't spoil or go bad. You could keep it inside the condom.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Food savers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Tupperware type of thing.
Yeah, and then throw it out into the ocean where it's a little bit cooler, so it's kind of got a refrigeration thing going on.
Put a stake in the ground and kind of
like
tie it off.
I like it, Chuck. Plus Emily Bett Records is going to look awfully gorgeous sucking the barbecue sauce off her fingers.
There you go. Yeah. I'm glad you said fingers.
On Adventures with Dan, Chuck, and Greg.
Space Pope!
So we're stuck in the attic of the Anne Frank?
Yeah, but where is she?
Guys, I think I can find her. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross, Greg.
What are you doing?
Getting her scent from this bucket of poo, Wolverine style.
A, you aren't Wolverine. B, you aren't a mutant. And C, you're an idiot.
I have an X-Men tattoo on my arm, though. That totally makes me an X-Man.
No, it doesn't.
Actually, I kind of agree with him.
Really? You know what? Never mind. We're way off topic anyways. Greg, can you actually find her?
I'm not really getting anything off the scent, but it looks like she had corn. Does that help?
No. You know what? Forget Anne Frank. What would she know about time travel to get us back home anyways?
Why don't we just ask for directions to the nearest space time device?
Wouldn't they think we're American spies?
Not if we act like 1940s-esque Germans.
And how would we do that?
Just act like racist assholes.
Yeah, pretty much what he said.
All right, well, let's do that then.
Greg, put down that sausage.
It's good, though.
We don't have any right marks to pay for it. Put it down. We are trying to be covert.
Fine.
Yeah, now help us ask people about local time machines.
Hey, mister, excuse me.
Greg, not him.
What? Why not? This guy will certainly know where a time machine is. Just look at his mustache. It's timeless. Hi, can you help us? We're looking for a time machine. Do you know of any around?
Nine. What are you, crazy person?
No, just working on getting home. Do you know anyone that could help?
You could always call the police to help. You get back to the asylum. You can use the police box right over there.
That's awesome! Danke! Auf Wiedersehen! Hey guys, over here!
What is it?
I don't understand. How are police going to help us through space and time?
Guys, you need to watch more Doctor Who when we get back. This is the TARDIS.
You're on my foot! Get off my foot!
Can we all just shift a bit to the left?
Ouch, ouch, ouch!
There, I think that's better.
Someone's on my other foot now!
I thought this was supposed to be bigger on the inside.
Not the real TARDIS, Greg.
Allons-y!
See the clip of the Ninja Turtles where Bebop and Rocksteady are mutating?
Nah.
Oh my god, I just saw it on Twitter before. I think it looks so terrible.
Are there a lot of sharp edges?
No, surprisingly, but there's a lot of dull comments.
Nine, what are you?
I went Asian there for a second.
Nine.
A little Japanese going on there.
Then, nine, what are you? Still going Asian.
Oh, you have hamachi.
Nine. Nine.